Welcome back to Let's Talk Packaging. I'm your host, Alec. Today we're diving into a word that can strike fear into the hearts of food business owners everywhere, phthalates. To help us untangle this beast, we have a special guest. Anna is a brilliant chemist and an expert in packaging materials. Anna, thanks for being here.
My pleasure, Alec.
So let's get right to it. I've heard people worry, am I even saying it right? Phthalates? Is that correct?
That's spot on, and the concern is understandable.
So, what exactly are they? Break it down for us.
Certainly. Phthalates are chemical additives known as plasticizers. Their job is to make certain types of plastics more flexible and durable.
Right, more bendy.
Exactly. The issue arises for two reasons. First, they can potentially migrate from the packaging into the food. And second, they've been identified as endocrine disruptors.
And that's the scary part everyone latches onto. Endocrine disruptors. It sounds terrifying.
It does. But here is the most important takeaway for anyone in the food industry. Phthalates are not typically used in the rigid or semi-rigid plastic containers common for food.
Okay, that's a huge relief. So all the headlines, they're missing the context?
Precisely. The conversation often lacks scientific nuance. While the FDA does approve certain phthalates for food contact, it's under very strict controlled conditions. For the vast majority of packaging, it's a non-issue.
This is already clearing things up. So if we're not supposed to be worrying, what materials are the good guys? What are the plastics we can trust?
The main ones are PET, HDPE, and PP.
Okay, PET. That's polyethylene terephthalate, right? I have to admit that word terephthalate always trips me up. It sounds so much like phthalate.
It's a very common point of confusion, but a great one to clarify. PET is the gold standard for food safety, and despite the similar sounding name, it does not contain phthalates.
That's a relief.
Its clarity, strength, and light weight all come from its inherent molecular structure, not from any added plasticizers. Think of your water bottles or your clamshell containers for salads. That's PET.
Got it. And what about the other two, HDPE and PP?
HDPE is high-density polyethylene. That's your Mook jugs and sturdy food storage containers. PP is polypropylene, used for things like yogurt cups and bottle caps. Both of these rely on the chemistry of their base polymers and don't need phthalates.
Though the materials themselves are engineered to be what they need to be, without sketchy additives.
That's a perfect way to put it.
So that begs the question, if they're not in our food containers, where are these infamous phthalates being used?
Primarily to make PVC, or polyvinyl chloride, flexible. Think of things that need to be really bendy, as you said, house siding, some water pipes, vinyl flooring, shower curtains.
A shower curtain. Okay, I can see that. My takeout container definitely doesn't need to bend like a garden hose.
No, it doesn't. And that's exactly why food packaging manufacturers just skip them entirely. The historical concerns were mainly around things like children's toys, which are now very heavily regulated.
This is fantastic information. It feels much less intimidating already. But for our listeners, the business owners who want that extra peace of mind, how can they verify their packaging is safe? What are the practical steps?
There are a few very simple ways. First, check your supplier documentation.
Right.
Reputable manufacturers will readily provide certificates of compliance, proving their materials meet FDA food contact regulations.
So just ask. Don't be shy.
Absolutely. Second, understand the resin identification codes, the little numbers in the triangle.
The recycling numbers.
Not quite. Those numbers in the triangle identify the type of plastic, not recyclability. Code 1 is PET, which is inherently phthalate-free. Code 2 is HDPE, no phthalates needed. And code 5 is PP, or polypropylene, which is naturally flexible without additives.
1, 2, and 5, the safe zone. So to recap, ask your supplier for docs, know your codes, 1, 2, and 5, and trust the FDA's regulatory framework.
That's the essence of it.
That brings up another acronym I've seen everywhere, BPA. Is that something we need to worry about in the same way?
That's another excellent question, Alec. BPA, or bisphenol A, is a chemical that was historically used to make certain hard, clear plastics and resins. The two main ones people might have encountered are polycarbonate, which is resin code 7, and epoxy resins, which were often used to line the inside of metal food and beverage cans to prevent corrosion and protect the food from direct contact with the metal.
Right, the linings of cans. I remember the big push for BPA-free cans and water bottles a few years ago. What was the concern there? Was it similar to phthalates?
That's the essence of it.
I want to get just a little bit nerdy for a second, because this is fascinating. Why is it that modern packaging doesn't need these additives anymore? What's the secret sauce?
It really comes down to material science and engineering. Today's materials are designed at the molecular level.
Okay.
With PET, for example, the polymer chains are physically oriented in a way that give them strength and clarity. Polypropylene is just naturally flexible enough for its common applications. They simply don't require external plasticizers to do their job.
So science basically innovated its way around the problem.
That's a great summary. The industry developed materials that are inherently safe and effective, backed by multiple layers of regulation. The framework is built on the principle that the dose makes the poison, meaning allowable levels of any substance are far lower than what could ever cause harm.
Fantastic. All right, Anna, this has been incredibly insightful. Let's distill this down into a final simple action plan for the food business pros listening right now. What are the key takeaways?
First, audit your current packaging. Talk to your suppliers and get that documentation.
Step one, audit. Got it.
Second, choose established materials. Stick with the proven ones, PET, HDPE, and PP. They have a long history of safe use.
Step two, stick with the classics.
Third, and this is crucial, work with reputable suppliers who understand food safety regulations and are transparent about their materials.
Step three, trust your partners. And fourth?
Stay informed, but not alarmed. Follow reliable, science-based sources for information, such as the FDA or major industry associations, not just scary headlines.
Audit, stick to the classics, trust your partners, and stay informed. That's a plan anyone can follow. It seems the main message is that you don't need a chemistry degree to ensure your packaging is safe.
Not at all. By choosing these standard materials, you're already winning at food safety. The industry has largely done the work for you.
So we can all get back to perfecting our secret sauce recipes instead of memorizing the periodic table.
Exactly.
Anna, this has been amazing. Thank you so much for breaking down a complex topic and making it so clear and manageable.
I was happy to be here, Alec. It's an important conversation.
Absolutely. Well, that's all the time we have for today on Let's Talk Packaging. A huge thank you again to our expert guest, Anna. Join us next week when we tackle more important topics. You won't want to miss it. Until then, stay safe and keep packaging smart.